You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Well, hello there, everybody. UFC 253 is officially in the books. Israel Adesanya and Jan Blachowicz are leaving Fight Island with shiny gold belts wrapped around their waists. And it's Monday morning. And with all that combined, that means it's on to the next one right here on the MMA Fighting Podcasting Network. I am Mike Heck, being joined by my fellow matchmaker, the Prince of Positivity himself, Canada's own Mr. Alex Kaylee. How are you, sir?
I wish our viewers could see this. I'm shaking and shimmying and dancing right now. I think we've got a corker of an episode. I'll admit, I think immediately after the show was over, I was having a little bit of trouble figuring out how to match up some of these people today, Mike. But after I did some, the more research I did, as is always, I think people know, I love rules. I love homework. I love research, as most people do. I'm just a normal guy who loves those things. So the more I did it, the more I kind of got excited for this episode, because I think some of these people need our help, Mike. It's not just about us having fun and like, oh, wouldn't it be cool if this guy fought this guy. The matchmakers need our help. The fighters need our help. This is an educational show, and we are happy to offer our services.
There you go. Well, let's start with the main event. Let's start with the man, because how could you not be impressed with the way Israel Adesanya closed the show on Saturday night? I mean, that was a one-sided drubbing of Paulo Costa. I think people expected a lot more from Costa here, but listen, a lot of factors in play. We don't know what goes through the mind of these men and women as they walk into the octagon, nor should we, because they do it and we don't. But as I mentioned on the preview show, I wondered how Costa would fare with the brightest of bright lights upon him, all the media obligations, him being on the marquee, all the promos, the posters, etc. I'm not saying that that was why the fight went down the way that it did, but either way, I'm not taking anything away from the last stylebender. That was an incredible performance. Outside of knocking him out with the first punch of the fight, that was as brilliant of a title defense as you will ever see in UFC history. So, AK, where do we go with the middleweight champion of the universe after Saturday night?
There's only two options, and I think one of them is so far above the others. He mentioned himself. He's calling the shots. He's the champ. Jared Cannonier. If Jared Cannonier beats Robert Whittaker, you have to give Cannonier the title shot. I think anything outside of that would be almost absurd. Robert Whittaker, I would even be open to a Whittaker rematch. I think a lot of people wouldn't, but at this point now, that would be two fights for both of them since that fight. Whittaker beat Till, and then if he beat Cannonier, we've seen rematches given for far less. And I think Whittaker was a very well-liked and exciting champion. And there was enough people, I remember that fight happened when he lost to Izzy. They were like, that looked weird. They were like, oh, that didn't look right. Like, why? What was Whittaker's strategy? Why was he, you know, that didn't seem like the Reaper that we know, you know, things like that. And then, of course, you know, Whittaker was very honest. He's been very honest about his struggles with mental health and things. So he would not use as an excuse. But I'm sure advocates for a rematch could say, oh, well, you know, let's see what he's like when he's 100% sort of mentally there. So I'm not against that either. But I think it's more so Cannonier who is deserving of this shot. He could have gotten one before, frankly, based on the work he's done at 185 pounds so far. So I'm going very, very strongly leaning Jared Cannonier.
Yeah, so I mean, some of these we had to think about a little bit more and dig. Some of these are pretty easy. Like this one is pretty easy. I mean, the huge fight between Whittaker and Cannonier. Winner gets the fight, especially if it's Cannonier. I mean, if it is Whittaker, yeah, maybe a tougher to sell, like you said. But, you know, who else can you slot in there? I mean, he did mention Jack Hermansson.
He did.
So, if Hermansson goes out there and finishes Darren Till in the first round and Whittaker wins, then there you go. You could probably maybe slot Jack in there. I don't think Darren Till is anywhere close to a title shot. I don't care how popular he is, but Cannonier is the front runner clearly. And it'll be interesting if Whittaker does get the win on October 24th, especially if he goes out there and finishes Jared Cannonier. Does he slide in there and get the rematch? But I think the more... go ahead.
Oh, sorry, Mike. Yeah, so Hermansson Till is the only other option, which I was saying before. And but the problem is, one big problem, they don't fight till December 5th.
Right.
So I think there's a chance that Izzy wants to get one more in before the end of the year. So even that is kind of very much, I mean, option B, but like a distant option B. It has to be the Cannonier-Whittaker winner.
And then for Paulo Costa, he suffers the first loss of his career in emphatic fashion. This is a little more interesting. And it's kind of a boring answer, but it's probably the loser of Whitaker versus Cannonier or the loser of Hermanson versus Till, right? I mean, unless you give Paulo Costa a big step back, but I don't think they'll do that. So I don't know. Like, what are your thoughts on the eraser moving forward after Saturday night?
Mike, you're using good logic there with the picking the loser of one of those matchups. It makes a lot of sense. Can't go wrong with either of those. Another name I sort of thought of who we've had to match up on an earlier episode, Derek Brunson, who we also kind of threw out there, I think, at least I did, for the Joker, and also maybe Yoel Romero rematch if Yoel Romero beats Uriah Hall. But we talked about this on the post-fight show last night, Saturday night. I felt terrible when I thought this, and I feel terrible saying it now, and yet I must. I think if he asked for it, I don't know if he – I didn't see what he said on social media last night. I think if Chris Weidman wants the fight, I think he'd maybe try it. Maybe this is Chris Weidman's last hurrah. Now, I do not think this fight would go well for Chris Weidman. I don't think anyone – I imagine he'd go in as a pretty heavy underdog. And I don't know if he'll want to see that because he's suffered a lot of knockouts in his recent career. But he still has the name. And I know Paul Costa would definitely take it. So I'm sorry, people, for speaking this into existence, but I had to throw it out there. So for me, if we're not waiting for all this other stuff to shake out, Chris Weidman.
Yeah, you can't even, like, people can see you. You're burying your face in
I'm ashamed.
That should just tell you everything. But we'll see. We do have a new light heavyweight champion of the world in the UFC, not named John Jones or Daniel Cormier, for the first time in 9.5 years. Jan Blachowicz puts away Dominic Reyes in round two. Sensational performance from the man with the Polish power. Reyes admitted he didn't pull the trigger in the fight. He was gun shy, and Blachowicz didn't let him get going anyways. So Jan Blachowicz is the champ of the world, AK. What might his first title defense look like?
I mean, John Jones, obviously, Mike. He called for it. John Jones is the real champ. No, that's in the discussion, of course. But if there's any justice in the world, kind of what we just said about Adesanya, it's like it has to be Glover Santos. That's my Reebok jersey I'm ordering. Glover Teixeira, Thiago Santos winner from November 7th. It has to be one of those guys. Of course, John Jones can step in and slot in that slot anytime he wants, but he has removed himself for this conversation. So, one, Jan Blachowicz is the number one light heavyweight in the UFC. John Jones, again, not in the conversation right now. And it has to be the number one contender. Has to be Teixeira or Mejita. So, again, I didn't overthink this one too much.
Yeah, this is too easy. Like, hopefully both guys are past any health scares, have a clear path to November 7th, which is when this fight is, I guess, rescheduled to happen again. But listen, it has to be the winner of that fight. I doubt John Jones sticks around at 205 after all of the hubbub and the talk and the chatter. Santos versus Teixeira winner, it shall be, more than likely. But the more interesting one is Dominic Reyes, because he has now lost two straight. And I mentioned this on the post-fight show. I'm standing by it. It should be Dominic Reyes versus Jiří Prochazka. That's the fight to make. That is the fight to make right now. I'm sorry. And Alexander Rakic, I said this previously, that it should be Rakic versus Jiří in a main event. Not anymore. I think Prochazka deserves a fight with a guy like Dominic Reyes. I think it's the clear-cut fight to make. You can headline anything or co-main event, any kind of a pay-per-view with a fight like that. Let's give Reyes a little bit of time to heal up, but I would say maybe end of the year, early 2021. That's the fight to make. What do you think?
I didn't love any of these matchups that I came up with. I think going sort of with the logic I was scoffing at before, again, I think we go the loser route. You know, maybe the Teixeira, Thiago Santos loser. Also because I actually really wanted to see Thiago Santos and Dominic Reyes fight before, after they both had their close calls against John Jones. I wanted to sort of be the almost got-ems, the battle of the almost got-ems. And I think that fight could still happen in the future. I don't know if it should be next. But for me, that's kind of the neatest way to handle this is, just match up those four fighters based on the results of the Teixeira Santos fight. But things in MMA are rarely this neat. So maybe that's why I would do. That's not necessarily what I expect to happen. The other kind of names I was thinking of was maybe a Volkan Uzdemir rematch. I know there's, you know, not a lot of people who thought that Reyes convincingly won that fight, their first fight. Johnny Walker, Johnny Walker, but that sort of falls under, I don't know if I want Reyes to take that far of a step back. And then Anthony Smith, if Reyes is planning to take a longer break, because I don't know when Anthony Smith's coming back. He might not fight in 2021. He might do the smart thing and kind of just wait to see how things go until the next year. I didn't love any of those. So the Prochazka thing is good. I was actually thinking of him eventually fighting Blachowicz, but you're right. He needs one fight, and it could be a Dominic Reyes or an Alexander Rakic or like a Ovince St. Preux, something like that. So he's in the mix. I'm sure there are people. I know there are people out there who are probably already on the Prochazka as the number one 205er in the world, trained based on his performances overseas and his UFC debut. But yeah, so my final answer, I guess, to share a Santos loser, but that was a rough outcome for Reyes. It really kind of it's going to take a lot to kind of come back from that, I think.
I love how you're still trying to plant the seeds for OSP versus Jiří Prochazka.
I tried to slip that one under the fence. I didn't think you'd... Oh, no.
Caught. So before those two title fights happened, we were treated, AK, to an absolute just skirmish, a battle at 125 pounds between Brandon Royval and Kai Kara France for 5 minutes and 48 seconds. What just a fight that was. It was like a cartoon fight where you just saw two guys start rumbling and then they're hidden behind a pile of smoke until one guy emerged. That's basically what we saw in the featured bout. Both guys were hurt. Both guys are in big trouble. And in the end, Royval submits Kai Kara France to move to 2-0 in the UFC. Two submissions, two fight of the night bonuses, huge statement win for the man with AK's favorite nickname in the sport, the Raw Dog. 125 is a legit player right now, AK. Where does he go from that win?
I was so tickled by the suggestion of that he fight Brandon Moreno just so we could have Brandon on Brandon, because look, we missed out on Neil, still a possibility, still in play. We got Damon on Damon, for anyone who missed that. We got our own Damon Martin interviewing Damon Jackson, which I think still has yet to go up on our site, but I believe we will have Damon Martin's story about Damon Jackson soon. And now I'm moving on to Brandon on Brandon. However, I think we can all agree Brandon Moreno is a little bit further ahead in the rankings. He's already booked. He's going to fight Alex Perez November 21st. And the winner of that probably deserves a title shot, not having to face another contender. So that may happen someday, but it'll be with Royval, you know, maybe facing Moreno for a belt somewhere down the road. I didn't hate the Drusky Formiga matchup that I believe Royval mentioned after. But Formiga has lost three straight. But it would be a nice proper climb up the rankings. I have them right next to each other. So my actual pick is Alexandre Pantoja, a man who has twice beaten Brandon Moreno. So in a proxy way, would be kind of battling his way up to sort of Moreno's spot without actually fighting Moreno himself. So I kind of like that one for Royval.
This is the tough one, because I think we need to know how Manel Cape factors into this conversation.
You and right? Cape.
Listen, I mean, I'm not alone on this. If there's one fighter that people ask me, like, even more than Colby after set, like this past UFC, after UFC Vegas 11, more people ask me about Manel Cape than anybody else. It's unbelievable. When's he fighting? Who's he fighting? What's the latest? And I don't know. All I can tell you is that it seems like Cape's going to fight in November. That's what all signs are pointing to. As far as opponent goes, I have no idea, but it looks like he is scheduled to fight in November. I hope they throw him on UFC 255, because that would make all the sense in the world. We can make just a big flyweight showcase pay-per-view card. There's Askarov there, so maybe he fights that. I know Royval wants Askarov, and I will say, if that's an option, I say just book it and make it happen. It's definitely someone that's going to be higher ranked than Kai Kara France for Royval. Maybe you go with the Joseph Benavidez matchup. Maybe you use Benavidez to kind of catapult Royval into that next stratosphere. Dana White is a big fan of Brandon Royval right now, but who knows? But I kind of wish we knew who Cape was fighting at this point to make our life a little bit easier. But I would say you give Royval the highest ranked guy that you can possibly give him at this point. Like, if Benavidez says no, give him Askarov. If Askarov's not fighting Manel Cape, give him a Pantoja or Formiga, but somebody ranked higher than six. Like, it should be a top five guy next. No doubt about that. Wow.
He's looked like a top five contender, definitely, in the UFC so far. And I like the idea of, I like the Benavidez matchup as well. I just like the idea. I think they need to really push him as this guy who's like a veteran killer. Because here's the record of his last three opponents. His last fight in the LFA, which he won by a 23-second armbar against Nate Williams. Nate Williams was 29-18. At the time, then he fights Tim Elliott, 15-10-1, and now Kai Kara France, 21-8. Revell himself is only 12-4. So, I mean, right in the middle of his, not inexperienced for sure, right in the middle of sort of his career. So he really has found a way to, and finishing guys. He's not just beating the guys. He's finishing more experienced fighters than him. It's been very, very impressive. So, yeah, I think I definitely agree. Any veteran name, he's beyond fighting, I think, other prospects around his sort of age range and experience range. He's always ready for a step up.
Another main card victor on Saturday night, Caitlin Vieira got back into the win column with a unanimous decision win over Sajara Eubanks. And look, there are some folks out there in the interwebs who thought possibly we were a little harsh on Vieira during the post-fight show because it seems like she just doesn't have a ton of buzz right now. I mean, and that's just the sport sometimes. Like, she actually had some really good momentum until she got knocked out by Irene Aldana, because most people thought that Vieira was just going to go in there, win, and fight for the belt. But once she got knocked out, any momentum and buzz she had just went away. And if there's any division that's tough to get momentum in, it's probably this one. That's all I think we were trying to say. But Vieira does get the win. It was a tough, gritty performance against a surging contender in Sajara Eubanks. I think this is easy yet difficult at the same time, because I think you keep her in the top 10. You could rebook the Marion Renault fight when she's healthy. Maybe you do a rematch with Sarah McMahon, since that fight was like 3 years ago. But I just don't think she's going to get much of a boost up the rankings, unfortunately. Like, a win over Sajara is a nice win. It's, you know, you get your win and your show money, but it's not one that's going to boost you up into the top five or get you closer to a title shot. It's just not going to happen. So I guess my 1A would be Marion Renault, just to lock in one choice if you're going to put me on something. So what say you, sir, for Caitlin Vieira?
Yeah, I mean, rebooking Renault makes a lot of sense. The name I threw out the other night was, I kind of like a fight with Raquel Pennington. Though that wouldn't do a lot for kind of our you know, we were saying she needs to find a way to kind of have exciting performances in the cage, because, again, with respect to both her and Raquel Pennington, they are not known for their barn burning fights. I think that's fair to say. I think most fans would agree with that. Both fine fighters, just not fighters who are always necessarily moving the needle excitement wise. So that would be my top choice. But I also think if we're talking about getting her up in the rankings, the Jermaine Durandami, Juliana Pena winner, they're fighting on October 3rd. And I think Caitlin Vieira, I imagine her and her management are eyeing that fight very closely. So while I think Pennington's a logical matchup, I could see the winner of that October 3rd matchup, Durandami and Pena. I think that could be the direction that they're leaning in.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Like if Juliana Pena wins, she might get the next title shot at 35. It's very possible. Because, I mean, who else is Amanda Nunes going to fight at this point at 35? She fought everybody. She hasn't fought Juliana Pena yet.
Yeah, they've been high on Juliana Pena for a while. You know, former Ultimate Fighter winner, always good. Someone's good with the media, good with the microphone. So, I think that makes sense as well. But I think the real point you raised, though, is how hard it is to kind of get ahead in this division. It's definitely you're very much stuck in the mud, especially suffering after taking a knockout loss like that. But good for her getting back in the win column. Good for Caitlin Vieira.
Yeah, if she goes in there, let's just say she fights a Juliana Pena and finishes her in like the first or second round, now you got something, now you're cooking, now you got that momentum back, and then we could start talking about number one contender fights. But getting a decision whatever Sajara Eubanks on a main card with two title fights and an opportunity, it's tough, because the matchup with Renault is probably a better fight for her to kind of showcase her skills and maybe get that boost, while Sajara is just more of a gritty, you know, not go away kind of a fighter. Stylistically, it just wasn't a good the right kind of fight to give Caitlin that boost, especially on a main card like this. So, and then you get the three other fights with Royval and Adesanya and Blachowicz. It's like almost impossible to try to match what those three guys did last on Saturday night. But kicking off the main card, speaking of Canada, Hakeem Dawodu got a split decision win over Zubair Tukhugov. That's five in a row for Mean Hakeem as he looks to crack that top 15. I don't know if he's there just yet, but he is knock it on that door, AK. What would you like to see next for Hakeem Dawodu?
Yeah, he broke into my top 20. Some people might have had him up there already, but for me, it's like I kind of just need to see him beat a fighter like Tukhugov. And yeah, I think that four fight win streak was against respectable competition, but not I think not people that were ranked higher than him. So this win over Tukhugov jumped up quite a few spots. I like there's a bunch of names that we keep throwing in the mix, I think, at 145 that for one reason or another, we haven't been matched up. Andre Feely, Movsarov, Loev, Sadiq Youssef. He was supposed to fight Edson Barboza. We don't know what's up with him. He pulled out for undisclosed reasons from a schedule about upcoming. So, yes, any of those names would be great. You could bandy about all those names, mix them together. You can't lose. The one that jumped out at me, just ahead of Dawodu in my rankings right now, Mr. Finland. Makwan Amirkhani.
Ooh.
Yes, we had matched him up previously. I don't remember being in love with any of the I think I wanted to see him fight Evloev, but now that I've seen kind of Dawodu get a win and I've kind of thought about it, I would like to take Amirkhani and put him right in there with Dawodu. I think it makes style-wise, rankings-wise, I think that's the way to go.
Huh, that's a good one. I got to say, AK, I'm a little surprised by your pick, and not because it's an incorrect pick, cuz I think just thinking about those two guys locked in a cage fighting each other would be a lot of fun, but you're the kind of guy, AK, that any chance to mention Ryan Hall's name in any situation, I thought that this was going to be an open door for you to just shove Ryan Hall right in everybody's living rooms, right in everybody's earphones. I did see some good suggestions on Twitter that I got. Ryan Hall was one, I believe. Let me just pull this up. Twitter handle @BikeTyson suggested Ryan Hall. That would work. Jack Attack TO said three options. One includes Sadiq Youssef. One includes Arnold Allen. His third choice is one that I really like, and we'll get into that momentarily. All is Ali suggested my other option, and we'll get to that in a second as well. So my first option, as suggested, was Cub Swanson. Cub Swanson, I think that's 1A. 1B is Jeremy Stevens. Let's give Dawodu a veteran, someone with some name value, and let's try to give him a little bit of a bump, because I feel like he's a turtle in a rabbit race here. Like, he's just slowly making strides. Like, he keeps winning fights and people are excited about him, but in terms of momentum and in terms of meritocracy, he's just sneaking up like ever so slightly. Let's give him a little bit of a test here. Let's give him somebody with some name value. But again, 145 is just so fun. There's really no bad option here, AK.
Stevens has lost four straight. I don't know if the UFC wants to put him in that position. Four straight versus a guy winning five straight. I mean, I could see it. The name value is still considerably higher than Hakeem Dawodu. But that for me, I think, would be a tough sell for Stevens. And I think and the UFC, who quite like Jeremy Stevens. So I don't know if they want to, unless they were very confident that he could knock out Dawodu, which I certainly wouldn't be based on what we've seen from Mina Kim. So, yeah, again, you really can't go wrong. I'm just glad he's put himself in that top 20 mix of guys who, again, you just can't miss. I think with like any of these matchups, they're just all killer. And as for Ryan Hall, I'm still quite fond of the man. I put him a little bit on matchmaking timeout for his recent on some unfortunate comments he made on a podcast invoking the name of Adolf Hitler to in a discussion about cancel culture. You guys can find that for yourself. Just Google it. And again, there was a some point in there that he was making. He just kind of made it in a bit of a dumb way, to put it nicely. I am not canceling Ryan Hall, by the way. I am just maybe postponing Ryan Hall mentions for a few weeks while this messy situation kind of clears itself up.
He's on the bench.
A little bit. But we love Ryan Hall here. All right, we love him. He's a great fighter.
Now, AK, it is time for the wild card round, where we choose a fighter from UFC 253 that we haven't discussed yet, and we matchmake for them right now. Could be a prelim winner or loser or someone else from the main card. It's the wild card round after all. That's in the name. So, my friend, who is your wild card selection from UFC 253?
Oh, let me give you some lightning round responses first, Mike.
Yes.
Jake Matthews first. Fight someone your own age. All right. Very cool for him. Very cool for him that he got to beat a legend. Nothing. I'm not saying this fight shouldn't happen. I think it's cool. Get this fight out of the way. Get that name on your resume. Very cool for Jake Matthews. He was a fan of obviously The Ultimate Fighter when he was so much younger. And now it's fight someone. He's 26 years old now. Fight someone your own age. Brad Riddell. You just keep doing you because your fights rule. This guy's just so great. So exciting to watch. Love Brad Riddell. William Knight, not really a matchup advice, some fitness advice. Maybe cut down the carbs a little, maybe hit the weight room every now and then, bud. I'm saying, you know, I think if anyone's qualified to give William Knight advice, fitness advice, it is, you know, a member of the MMA media. I have to do this. It's terrible. But it came to me much like the Chris Weidman Costa thing, and now I can't unsay it and I can't unthink it. I Diego Sanchez is going to fight again. Okay, we can't stop this. Talk me out of this, Mike. Diego Sanchez versus Tyron Woodley.
Ooh.
Talk me out of this.
God, that's not bad, though.
Someone has to win.
Listen, Diego, I mean, over the last five fights, Diego's got a better record than Tyron Woodley. But, I mean, the level of competition is certainly different because Woodley's losing to the three best welterweights on the planet, and Diego Sanchez is getting DQ wins over Michel Pereira, and, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think Diego would be all in for that fight. Would Tyron Woodley be all in for that fight? Probably not. It'd be a tough sell for Woodley, but I like where your head's at. I will say that.
I'm ashamed again. I feel ashamed.
Listen, it's bet. I'm glad you didn't say Diego Sanchez versus Khamzat Chimaev. Now that would have been.
Oh,
yeah.
How you go so long without mentioning him? We should have mentioned him in the Izzy discussion.
He did call for the fight after all. But listen, I thought a lot of things were on point for the returning Juan Espino, AK. The man mauled and submitted Jeff Hughes, a guy who had never been submitted in his career up until Saturday night. He calls out a slew of fighters afterwards, calls out Alistair Overeem, calls out Augusto Sakai, calls out Jairzinho Rozenstruik. Maybe the Augusto Sakai one could happen, and I always appreciate a man who shoots for the stars and tries to come up with something. But there was one name he missed, AK, and it was one of the big blunders of the night, if we're being honest. How do we not immediately pivot to Juan Espino versus Alexei Oleinik? Like, this is the no-brainer matchmaking fight following UFC 253. How is this not a thing? How did Juan Espino not say Alexei Oleinik's name, AK? This is a blunder of epic proportions.
Speechless. I was speechless when I think it was Jose told us, gave us a brief rundown of the press before we got to see it, that was not one of the names mentioned. I was shocked. Scarfhold versus Ezekiel Choke. I mean, really, Scarfhold versus a Scarf. I mean, Scarfhold, as Oleinik has done probably every submission in an MMA fight that you can do. So it was a very logical thing. Maybe there's a story there. Maybe they're friends. I don't know. As far as I know, they don't have any association. Maybe they're enemies. I don't know. But maybe the name just slipped his mind. He did just win his first fight in like 2 years or something like that. So, but that seemed really obvious. I think I definitely saw at least a couple of people on social media mention it. So, that seemed, I don't know. You know, Juan Espino, nice guy, but that's, two UFC fights in. Come on, let's step up the promotional game a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, the other call-outs are great, but I mean, this is the no-brainer fight. This is what we have to see at this point. Do we have any listener suggestions, AK?
I specifically solicited for three fighters. I try to stay from the main card fights because we usually have a pretty strong grasp of what we want to say there. And again, you know, we usually just by looking on Twitter, we see names pop up. So I want to know about Ludovic Klein because he was so, you know, not known before this and had such a great debut, except for the egregious missing weight. So the most popular response when calling out for what's next for him, of course, is to make weight. Ha ha ha. Some people said also move up to 155, but he has made 145 several times in his career. As far as I could see, I did some research. He has not missed weight ever before for any promotion. So people just settle down. He took the fight on a week's notice. He should have known better if he couldn't do it. But regardless, we'll give him a slight pass this time around, Mike. So a couple of actual things. I think you said, You said Cub Swanson, but not. You said that was for
Hakeem
Dawadu, right?
Yep.
For Hakeem. At @fresh_minty said Cub Swanson or Dawadu for Klein. I think those are a little too high for him right now. It was a cool debut, but that was out there. @Ashne_by Shane Burgos, again, a little too high. And this wasn't even asked. Like, was it too soon? It's a little too soon. But I could see him matching up with these guys somewhere in the future. It was a very strong debut. Dawadu himself, I think, like you said, you got some direct responses. I'll mention one, I think, that stood out, which I hadn't thought about. So I think it's a little too high. I just wanted to see who said it. I think this was from @DailyScrapNews. They want to see Magomed Sharipov. Again, for Hakeem Dawadu. Maybe, again, somewhere down the road. Next, I think Magomed Sharipov has title plans very, very soon. One fight away, if not, you know, right there in the mix already. So I think it's a cool matchup. I just don't think it's next for Akin Dawadu. But I appreciate you throwing that out there at Daily Scrap News. There's another good one, actually, from at Harry Yarnell 1. Lerone Murphy.
That's an interesting one.
He's only 1-0-1, but he's coming off a really good win, and he fought Tukugov to a draw in his debut. So mathematically speaking, he is already kind of in that same range as Dawadu, but it probably would be a bit of a step back, but I would have no problem with that fight being made. It's just, I think Dawadu's ready for bigger things. And the last person I asked about, Brandon Royval. I got a couple of good responses here. Askar Askarov, but we said Askar Askarov is booked, right? He is fighting.
We don't know. Nothing.
Oh, we don't know. Okay, right. You're saying hopefully Manel Cape, something like that, right? So if that doesn't happen, certainly a possibility. And then Fresh Minty again chimed in with, I brought this up the other day, Matt Schnell. I know it sounds like he's behind Royval now, but the flyweight rankings are pretty tight. So I don't know if that's going to happen, but if that fight was made, I wouldn't be surprised. I do think that Royval has moved past that.
Sure.
And I have one more recommendation for Val, even though we've already discussed him. Change that nickname, Raw Dog. All right? It's gross.
It but keeps him loose. The nickname keeps him loose. And you can tell.
He could not be more loose. He's the loosest man in the UFC right now. That sounds weird.
I meant like from a mental perspective.
Yeah, yeah.
He's
yeah.
got some issues up there. And he's admitted this many times throughout our conversations. Like even after the fight, talking to John Anik, he was just like, meh. Didn't think it was that good. I got caught. I don't deserve to call out a top five guy. Like he's got these confidence issues within himself. Like he doesn't believe that he deserves to be where he's at right now. Like there's just something in his brain, but you know, if it's working for him, it's getting him wins.
He is very real. He is very raw. I guess he's certainly a dog in the cage. I guess you might say he's a raw dog. But I'm just saying, every time the name comes up, I just wince a little bit. I don't love it. So there's my other matchmaking pick for Royval. Someone matchmake Royval with a new nickname.
Ludwig Klein versus Julio Arce. I think that's a nice fight to make.
Yeah, where is Julio Arce?
We haven't seen him since he lost to Hakeem Duwadu UFC 244.
Yeah, it's time. Definitely, yeah, I like that. It's time for him to get back in there, and Klein would be a very good matchup.
Yes, I would agree with that. So, but listen, if we didn't hear from you already, we want to hear from you about your matchmaking suggestions. Go ahead.
I have to thank you for bringing that up. I said I would mention someone's matchmaking suggestions from the last week. Oh, I got to try and find it now. Yes, I did not want to neglect someone who directly messaged us, Mike, with a matchup suggestion. So let me. I have Magic Mighty Mart said he wanted to see. Marvin Vettori and Shamayev. We were tagged. I think a bunch of us were tagged in that one. And then, is that it? Oh, I'm going to feel so bad. I really should organize these better. If I forget, I will make sure to mention it at some point in the future. But I apologize for anyone who has sent us matchmaking suggestions. I have a cluster of disorganized likes that I meant to sort out and have failed. So we got the reader. We got a lot of reader suggestions in today. Thank you everyone for sending them in. And for commenting and we'll look, you guys if you guys are right, I'm sure you'll remind us of it.
Yes, so hit us up on Twitter if you didn't suggest anything, or if this individual who sent a suggestion wants to just recap the suggestion, you can hit up AK at Alexander K. Lee on the Twitter. I am at Mike Heck_JR. UFC 253 is in the books, but we'll do it again next week as we figure out what is next following UFC Fight Night, Holm versus Aldana. A couple of interesting women's bantamweight scraps on this one, AK.
Yeah. I think it's, if you're looking for bantamweight action, then this is a pretty top-heavy card. You said Holm, Aldana, GDR Pena, which we just mentioned several times in the show. And then outside of that, I mean, some intriguing names to look for. Carlos Condit coming back. Good old Canadian boy Charles Jourdain, another guy climbing the featherweight ranks. There's an exciting guy to keep an eye on. And two other, I think, really good names coming up. Loma Lukbunmi at strawweight fighting Jin Yu Fry. And Casey Kenney. Casey Kenney, a really, really promising bantamweight fighter still, who I think, other than losing to Marab, has looked really, really good. So there's some intrigue there. I'm not going to lie to America and say it's the sexiest looking card. But you're not gonna miss out by catching some of these fights. I would just say be selective with your time next week. How about that?
Well, we will get AK's level of difficulty scale later on this week at some point when it comes to, I don't even know what we're calling this card yet. Do we know what we're calling this card yet? It's a UFC Fight Island and a number.
I think it's on ESPN. I think it's a UFC on ESPN 16, according to Wikipedia, but we don't know that for sure. It could also be a Fight Island number, except, you know, what have you.
Well, we will let you know. But until then, we are out of time. Thank you for listening, as always. And remember, don't take this too seriously. This is supposed to be fun, my friends. That's what MMA is supposed to be. MMA is supposed to be fun. Someone once told me that, and it stuck with me ever since. I believe it was you, AK. But
I do say it.
You do. We'll see you next week, right here. It's on to the next one, the podcast.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.